Virginia. And today is Thursday, February the 23rd of 2017. In this episode of Word Magazine, episode number 71, we are going to be looking at the question, was Jesus a rabbi? I had a student in a class recently who asked me this question. So the impetus for this episode is answering this question. No, it's not on text criticism. It's on a gospel criticism, I guess, question. And one of the things that I usually do when I teach the course that I'm teaching this semester, which is New Testament Early Christianity, is I have the students do quite a bit of reading from the primary source, from the New Testament. And they were having to read through the Gospel of Mark and to write summaries of the chapters. And so this young woman who's a student had been reading through Mark, and she had noticed a couple of references to Jesus as a rabbi. And so she was asking me, was Jesus a rabbi? And, you know, to start off with, for a modern person, it can kind of be anachronistic. You hear the word rabbi, and, you know, we're in the period where we've already had the development of what we could call modern Judaism and Orthodox Judaism. And so there might be a stereotype of who a rabbi is and what a rabbi does, etc. And it's a little bit different in the first century. But anyways, she asked me this in class, I was able to give just an off-the-cuff answer, but it did send me back to the study to try to look at this question a little bit more. Was Jesus a rabbi? Is he presented in the Gospels as being a rabbi? That's one of the questions. How is that title used with Jesus? So the word rabbi comes from the Hebrew root, meaning master or lord, and then it's used in Aramaic in a similar way. And so you've got kind of two forms of it in the New Testament, in the Gospels. You've got the word rabbi. You also have rabboni, which also appears. So I started looking at this, and the first thing that I wanted to do was simply turn to the Gospels themselves and do a kind of a survey of how this term is used in reference to Jesus or to others. And so I started by turning to the Gospel of Matthew. And in Matthew, there are two times when Jesus is called a rabbi. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 25, the person who calls him rabbi is Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. And so if you look at Matthew 26, verse 25, I've got my Bible in front of me here, the page is turning, perhaps. This is from the King James Version. It says, "Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And he said unto him, Thou hast said." So when it says, "Master, is it I?" the English word master behind that is in Greek written the word rabbi, which is simply a transliteration of the Hebrew and Aramaic word rabbi, meaning master, lord, and then it comes to mean an Aramaic teacher. So Judas calls Jesus master or rabbi. And then also in Matthew 26, verse 49, it says, "Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, this is verse 48, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he, hold him fast. And verse 49, and forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him." And there in verse 49 of Matthew 26, when it says master in the King James Version English, behind it is the Greek word rabbi, which is again the Hebrew and Aramaic term. So not very positive for Judas to be calling Jesus rabbi. Then alongside of that, the only other time when the word rabbi the term rabbi is used in Matthew is in Matthew 23, verses 7 and 8. And this is the passage where Jesus is excoriating the Jewish religious leaders. And he says, well, it says in Matthew 23, well, he starts off, go back to verse 2, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. And then he talks about their foibles in verse 6. They love the uppermost rooms at the feast and the chief seats in the synagogues. Verse 7, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men rabbi, rabbi. And here the King James Version renders in English basically the word as it appears in the original text. Verse 8, Jesus continues, but be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And there, again, you've got the third occurrence in Matthew 23, verse 8 of the word rabbi. And Jesus says, don't let people call you rabbi because you have one master. And here he uses another Greek word, kathegetes, which means leader, master. And so their one master is Christ, is the Messiah, is Jesus himself. So that's it for the word rabbi in Matthew. You've got Jesus in Matthew 23 talking negatively about the term, saying that the hypocritical religious leaders like to be called rabbi, rabbi, and telling his disciples they are not to call, seek to be called rabbi, but instead they are to remember that they have one master or one rabbi, who is Christ. And it's interesting that even there, he didn't do just what I just did. He doesn't say, you have one rabbi. He says, you have one kathegetes, you have one master, who is Christ. So he doesn't even use it there for himself, a sign of his humility and selflessness. And then you've got Judas Iscariot calling Jesus rabbi twice. And certainly there would be an undercurrent there that Judas is not a genuine follower of Jesus. He doesn't understand the teachings of Jesus. But that's it. That's all of the references in Matthew. And Matthew is considered by many persons to have been written perhaps for a Jewish or Jewish Christian audience. And he rarely uses the term with reference to Jesus. Then in the Gospel of Mark, I look through that. And in Mark, we have Peter on two occasions calling Jesus, giving to Jesus the term rabbi. The first of these is in the Transfiguration account in Mark 9. After Peter's confession that Jesus is the Christ in Mark 8, Jesus selects Peter and James and John to go with him up on the mountain. And while there, as you probably know, Jesus is transfigured, and we have this scene in Mark 9:5, where it says, and Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias or Elijah. And there where he calls Jesus Master in the English of the King James Version, behind it, again, is the word rabbi. Again, though, this is a point in Mark's narrative where we might say Peter is not yet fully enlightened as to who Jesus is, as to Jesus' identity. Remember, just in Mark 8, Jesus had said to him, get thee behind me, Satan. It's not exactly, kind of like in Matthew, I wouldn't say Peter calling Jesus rabbi here is wholly positive. The second time where Peter uses the term in reference to Jesus is in Mark chapter 11 and verse 21. And this is the episode of the cursing of the fig tree. And it says, "And Peter, calling remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away." And again, the word master there behind it is the word rabbi. So even at this point in the narrative, before the cross and the resurrection, Peter is, we might say, not truly enlightened, and he uses this term for Jesus. Aside from Peter referring to Jesus as rabbi, as in Matthew, the only other occasion where a disciple uses the term for Jesus is in Mark 14:45, and it is Judas, the parallel account to Matthew 26 that we had read earlier. But if you look at Mark 14, verse 45, you will read, "And as soon as he was come, he goeth straightway to him and saith, Master, Master, and kissed him." And here it's twice, rabbi, rabbi, master, master, and kissed him. And I've got my Greek testament, and I think I'm going to actually look that up real quickly just to make sure. And I'm using the old-fashioned paper technology. I'm not using a word, an online or a digital Greek text. I'm actually looking it up here in an old technology Greek text. And yes, rabbi, rabbi. I just want to make sure. Yeah, that's the same word. And that's kind of interesting because in some ways it's sort of parallel to some degree with the Matthew 23:7-8 passage showing Judas is someone who doesn't really get the teaching of Jesus. And here he calls Jesus rabbi, rabbi, when earlier Jesus had described the false teachers, the Jewish, deluded Jewish leaders, the hypocrites, as desiring to be called rabbi, rabbi. Kind of interesting that that's used there. So that's it for the disciples. So you've got in Mark, you've got Peter calling Jesus rabbi twice. You've got Judas calling Jesus rabbi once. The only other time the term is used for Jesus in Mark is by the blind man Bartimaeus in Mark 10:51. He calls out to Jesus using the term Rabboni. And you might say this is perhaps a positive, but this is a blind man depicted as a man who's not, if he became a disciple, he's not yet a disciple. He's in sort of his state before his healing. We might say it's a parallel to an unregenerate state. And he uses this term for Jesus. So let's turn to Luke. We've looked at Matthew, looked at Mark. And in Luke, it's pretty easy. The term does not appear in Luke's gospel. So Jesus is not called rabbi. Luke does not describe the disciples or anyone else calling Jesus rabbi. Perhaps not a surprise, given that most believe that Luke was written for a Gentile audience. He tells us that he writes for most excellent Theophilus, and maybe he assumes that his readers would not be familiar with that Aramaic term. So he does not use it when the disciples call upon Jesus. The term isn't used. Finally, let's look at John. And there are actually more appearances of the term rabbi in John than in any other of the canonical gospels. It's used once in reference to John the Baptist, interestingly enough, in John chapter 3 and verse 26. We read this, John 3:26. It says, "And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him." So the disciples of John call him rabbi. Then there are seven other references in John to Jesus using the word rabbi. He is called rabbi by two of the disciples of John the Baptist, perhaps within this narrative context, not surprising given that apparently they called John rabbi. But in John 1, verse 38, it says, "Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou?" And so these are two disciples, if you look at verse 37 of John 1, who had been standing, or look back to verse 35 again the next day after John stood, and two of his disciples. So these are disciples of John the Baptist, and they start following Jesus, and they call him Rabbi. And it's also interesting in John 1:38 that John explains for his readers, who perhaps some of whom would not have been Jews, perhaps there were some Jews and some Jewish Christians, but there were others apparently non-Jews, and he needs to explain what the term means. I'm just looking this up again in my Greek text. And what is the term that he uses? That's what I'm looking for. He uses didaskalos. That's the term, teacher, from didasko, to teach. And so that's his interpretation of rabbi, is didaskalos, teacher. Then, continuing to flow this, also in John 1, verse 49, we have the disciple who is named Nathanael, who calls Jesus Rabbi. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. And again, if you think about the flow of John's narrative, it's interesting. The very first instance of the word is in John 1:38. He gives his reader an interpretation of what the word means. It means didaskalos, teacher. And so he doesn't have to explain it the next time it shows up, and doesn't have to explain in the previous reference that I gave to John 3. When John the Baptist is given this title by his disciples. So let's continue flowing the references to Jesus, though. In John 3, verse 2, Nicodemus calls Jesus Rabbi. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. So Nicodemus calls Jesus Rabbi, but again, this is before he, assuming that he eventually became a disciple. This is before he became a disciple. Also, various other followers of Jesus give him the title Rabbi. You look at John 4:31, John 9:2, John 11:8. He's called Rabbi by the people in John 6:25, but it's a mixed audience: some disciples, some not. And then the final usage of rabbi in the Gospel of John, or a form of it, is in John 20, verse 16. And this is when, after the crucifixion and the resurrection, the risen Jesus meets with Mary Magdalene, and the famous scene. She at first doesn't know who he is, thinks he's the gardener, asks where they've taken the body of Jesus. And then we have this, John 20, verse 16, Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And I'm pretty sure, let me look it up, but I'm pretty sure it's didaskalos there. So it's interesting. The very first reference to the term rabbi in John 1:38, he offers an explanation. And here at the very end, it's not the same word rabbi, but a related word, rabboni. And likewise, John, as a thoughtful writer, thoughtful narrator, provides his reader for an explanation. And the reader learns something. Rabbi is the same as rabboni. And it also is the same as teacher. And yes, sure enough, this is John 20, 16. And it says, she said to him, Rabboni, which is to say, and it's the the noun didaskalos in John 20:16. So that's it. We have surveyed every instance of the title rabbi within the canonical Gospels of the New Testament. And so what do we make of the usage of this term within the Gospels? Well, it certainly appears that the term rabbi was not one that was widely or positively used in the Gospels for Jesus. Other than Mary Magdalene's usage of the related term rabboni in John 20:16, the term is not used in reference to Jesus after his resurrection. It's only used in reference to him early in his ministry by a few people, and then by Judas Iscariot, and then the single time by Mary Magdalene, she's sort of rebuffed even in that encounter. We can't say that the word rabbi was positively used toward Jesus. Now, the student who asked the question was trying to get at, though, I think a little bit as to the education of Jesus and the standing of Jesus in his community. Would he have been considered as being a rabbi? And so one of the things we might address to attempt to answer this question is to think about the education of Jesus. And of course, one of the things that is striking, you read through the Gospels, is that there's very little about the childhood or even the young adulthood of Jesus. We're told about his birth in Bethlehem in Matthew and in Luke. It's alluded to also in John. And we've got the one incident in Luke 2 where when he goes to Jerusalem with his family for the Passover and is accidentally left and then is found in the temple, speaking with the teachers, the doctors in the temple. And then, according to John 3:23, he begins his public ministry when he's about 30 years of age. But we're not told anything about his education. A book that I've had students read for several semesters as part of this class I teach is one by Richard Bauckham, who taught at the University of St. Andrews in Scotland. And the book is called Jesus, A Very Short Introduction, published by Oxford University Press. And in that book, he says on the education of Jesus, this is a quote from page 30 of that book, "Of his education, we know nothing and can only surmise that he learned Hebrew, studied the Hebrew scriptures intently, and listened to religious teachers from whom he learned such forms of teaching as parables and aphorisms," end quote. I think about the education of Jesus. The textbook that I use is one written, the general editor is a guy named Gary Berg, who teaches at Wheaton, and he has a couple of co-authors, but I always refer to it as the Berg book. It's called The New Testament in Antiquity, published by Zondervan in 2009. One of the things I like about it is it gives a lot of attention to the sort of cultural, historical backgrounds for the New Testament, for early Christianity. And it's got an interesting discussion, pages 128 and 29 of that book, of the education of Jesus. And of course, it's speculative, but he draws upon information we know. What would a typical Jewish child of the early first century, how would they have been educated? A lot of times people talk about there being very low literacy rates in the ancient world. I think that's generally true in the Gentile world. But among the Jews, I think that literacy level was much higher because there was a desire to read the Hebrew Bible or the Old Testament, as we call it. And it's funny how it's still true today that where there are the people of the book, Jews and Christians, there is an interest in literacy, and a big part of that is to be able to read the Bible. So Jesus is presented in Luke chapter 4 going into the synagogue at Nazareth and being handed the scroll of Isaiah and reading it, showing that Jesus was literate and could read the Hebrew Bible. But anyways, this is let me just read a couple excerpts from this discussion about from Berg as about education. He said, Jesus grew up in the Galilee village of Nazareth, secluded in the mountains of Lower Galilee. He says, Jesus was probably educated in the local synagogue each morning from age 5 or 6, and each afternoon worked at his father's trade. By father, of course, he means foster father. He holds to the virginal conception of the virgin birth of Jesus. And then later on, he says, like other boys in his village from the age of 6 to 10, Jesus became literate in Hebrew through study of the Torah in the Nazareth synagogue, and he memorized vast quantities of scripture. From ages 10 to 12, he became acquainted with the oral laws under the direction of the synagogue teacher and custodian, the Hazan. At this point, he ended his schooling and began working full-time with his father. Again, when we talk about Jesus learning the scriptures, of course, in one sense, I mean, if we think about Orthodox Christology, we think of Jesus as one person with two natures. With regard to his divine nature, of course, he knew the scriptures. He shared in the divine attribute of being omniscient. But with regard to his human nature, the scriptures clearly tell us that he grew, he developed, he learned, and that without sin. Luke tells us that he grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. So it's not incongruent with affirming the deity of Jesus to also affirm that as a man, as the Word made flesh, that he learned and memorized the scriptures even as we do. It says then from the age of 13 until the beginning of his public ministry at about 30, Jesus worked in Nazareth and joined the village men at the synagogue for discussion and debate. He says, thus Jesus had almost 20 years experience debating in his local synagogue before he began teaching in the synagogues of Galilee. By the time he was an adult, he was a skilled craftsman, literate, knowledgeable in the traditions and history of his people, and adept at public discourse. So I think that's an interesting discussion of something that, again, in God's wisdom, in the sufficiency of Scripture, we don't have descriptions of the education of Jesus, but we can surmise that he was steeped in the Scriptures and also learned from a Jewish perspective how to carry on an intellectual examination, intellectual debate. And so undoubtedly he gained a reputation as someone who, as it says in the Gospels, spoke with authority and not as the scribes. I did pick up a book off my shelf. I sort of looked at a few books on Jesus to see if anyone had addressed this. And I'm sure that somebody has. I'm sure that Geza Vermes has done work on Jesus as a rabbi. But the one book that I pulled down that had a little bit about this is an old one from the German scholar Günther Bornkamm in his book, Jesus of Nazareth. He points to the fact that Jesus is presented in the Gospels as a teacher and as one whose judgment is sought out by people in disputes about the law. And he says, quote, this corresponds with the picture of the Jewish rabbi who is a theologian and jurist at the same time, end quote. That's page 96 of Jesus of Nazareth. By the way, as always, I will have a blog post at jeffriddle.net where I'll have some of these quotes and I'll have some of the verses that I've cited previously. So you can go to jeffriddle.net and read about that. Anyway, getting back to Bornkamm, he notes, as others have, the obvious, that there's never any mention within the Gospels of Jesus studying with any well-known rabbi. And we can contrast that, say, with Paul's claim in Acts 22, verse 3, that he had studied at the feet of Gamaliel. And we might also look at John 7:15, where John records that the Jews scoff at Jesus, saying, "How knoweth this man letters, having never learned?" The word for letters in Greek, grammata. He doesn't know his grammar, doesn't know his letters. It probably doesn't mean that he was illiterate, but that he didn't have formal rhetorical training, having never learned. It's a participle there that comes from the Greek verb manthano, which is also a root for the noun mathetes, disciple, having never been discipled, having never been tutored under one of these respected rabbis. Mark likewise records that when Jesus began to teach in the synagogue in his home country, it says, Mark 6:2, quote, "Many were astonished, saying, 'From whence hath this man these things?'" End quote. So Jesus is presented as one who sort of comes out of nowhere. He's received what we might call an ordinary or normal education. He hasn't sat at the feet of some great rabbi, and yet he has a depth of knowledge and insight and authority that makes him the equal or better, right, or definitely better than any contemporary rabbi that these people have ever heard. Borncom notes another quote from him, quote, "Meanwhile, we must not, without further examination, read back into Jesus' time the strict regulations of later rabbinical literature for study and ordination of the scribes. Certainly the respectful title rabbi with which he is addressed is applied rightly," end quote. And his point there is, when we see Jesus being called a rabbi, or we think about him acting like a rabbi, we shouldn't anachronistically think of the requirements that would later come to be used in rabbinic Judaism that would designate someone formally with this title. That had not developed in the first century. You still have the temple in Jerusalem. The religion of the Jews changes dramatically after the fall of Jerusalem in 70 AD and the destruction of the temple. There's no longer an opportunity for sacrifice, and that's when you have the more strict rabbinic system that develops. Turning back for just a second to Berg, there was another interesting section within his book that I wanted to share. And in the section in that book where they talk about Jesus as a teacher, they sort of address this question as well. And they do it under the question, was Jesus a sophisticated teacher, like some of the more sophisticated rabbis of his day? And this is their reply. Let me just read a little bit of this from, again, the Berg book, The New Testament Antiquity. This is on page 148. It says, quote, "Some scholars have a romantic view of him, of Jesus, as a rural village carpenter who offered pithy and simple insights about God. Jesus was indeed a craftsman, but rabbis commonly held such practical jobs. Paul was a tent maker, and the famous Rabbi Shammai was a stonemason. The Mishnah described the law as a crown worn by the teacher, but it could be used to glorify oneself or to gain profit. Instead, the rabbi was to have an occupation through which God granted the means to teach." And they quote there from the Mishnah, Abot 4:5, end quote. So the point they're making there is, no, Jesus didn't have kind of this formal rhetorical training, but we shouldn't think that because he's called a carpenter, a tectone, that this means that he was sort of a blue-collar guy who wasn't qualified to be a rabbi. He says, in fact, in the first century, it was the norm for a rabbi to be what we could call bivocational, in particular, to have a very hands-on, practical job. And so one of these leading rabbis, Shammai, was a stonemason, but also a teacher. And I often tell my students when I do lectures on the Jewish and the Greco-Roman backgrounds, sort of contrast the Jewish way of looking at work and leisure versus the Roman way. The Romans thought it was beneath someone of intelligence and noble birth to do manual labor. The greatest thing you could do was to be a man of leisure and to have time to philosophize and to think. I think the only sort of hands-on profession that they valued was being a farmer, to be the Agricola, out in your estate to cultivate, you know, grapes or something like that. But the Jews were very different. They valued labor and work, and they saw it as a good. It's interesting how this gets picked up by in Christianity, in biblical Christianity. Think of sort of the Protestant work ethic. It's good to do manual labor. It's good for a person. And so this same sort of thought is there with these early rabbis. And so the depiction of Jesus in the Gospels is fitting, really, with the first century view of a rabbi. He's a carpenter. He's also a teacher. And he knows the scriptures. So this would fit with sort of the view of a rabbi in the first century. Berg and his colleagues also point out that the leading rabbis of the first century were not known by the books that they produced, but by the number of students, the Talmud, that they attracted. And they point out that the leading rabbis of Jesus' day of the first century, including Yohanan ben Zakkai, Gamaliel, Hillel, and Shammai, like Jesus, they didn't leave any writings behind. We have no books. As far as we know, Jesus didn't write any books or letters, at least that we have. But the teachings of these rabbis and the teachings of Jesus, of course, were written down and transmitted by their disciples. So in this way, the depiction of Jesus and the historical facts of the life of Jesus are consistent with Jewish teachers, rabbis of the first century. So anyway, we've pondered this question, and let me hasten to draw now a few concluding thoughts. So in answer to the student's question, was Jesus a rabbi? Here's, I think, what we might say. We might say, well, Jesus might have been considered, and certainly was by some people, to be a rabbi. His Jewish contemporaries would have looked at him, and they would have listened to his teaching, and due to his natural teaching ability, his personal authority, even though he apparently did not train at the feet of any well-known rabbi, but I think about that scene in Luke 2 again of him, at least on that one occasion, being in the temple in Jerusalem. But he didn't have extended formal training with a rabbi. And yet, again, they saw this innate ability that Jesus of Nazareth had when he was here on earth. And so it seems, again, obviously, that he was considered and called by some to be a rabbi. And yet, from reading the Gospels, it's clear again that this was not a preferred term for Jesus. It was not a term that he preferred to be called by. It's not a term that he suggested that his followers seek to be called by. Again, Matthew 23, verses 7 and 8 is very striking. And we can also see, looking through the Gospels, that aside from that one reference in John 20, verse 16 by Mary Magdalene, the title or the term rabbi was not a term that Christians used to refer to Jesus after his resurrection from the dead. And I think this definitely comes from Jesus' own personal ministry. Again, Matthew 23, 7 and 8. He told his disciples not to seek that term and title. He didn't seek it for himself. And, you know, part of that might have been his critique of the hypocrisy in the religious leadership of in early Judaism of his day. It might also have something to do with the fact that Christians didn't call Jesus rabbi with the fact that as Christianity developed, they were differentiating themselves from Judaism, and they were saying, we're something different. Jesus represents something different. He wasn't just another rabbi. He wasn't another Gamaliel, another Hillel, another Shammai, but he is the Christ. He is the Son of God. And so those titles, Christ and Son of God, were the dominant titles that Christians wanted to give to Jesus, not rabbi. So anyways, that is a little more extended answer to the question, was Jesus a rabbi? I hope that you have found this edifying and hopefully interesting. And we will look forward to another Word Magazine before too long. I will be getting back to some topics from text criticism, but I hope that this topic on the Gospels is also encouraging and helpful. Till the next time we have another Word Magazine, take care and God bless.